will recap last night's presidential debate this hour and a Republican Party event in Wisconsin where Donald Trump was disinvited following the release of a 2005 audio tape where he was caught making sexually explicit remarks. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, October the 10th. So first, what did you think of that debate? What stood out to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. Stephen Smith is a distinguished professor of social sciences, a professor of political sciences, and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis, which hosted last night's debate. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your overall impressions?
I hate to hesitate, but this was a case where I think we had a debate with no clear winner. I think the polls will probably show by a slight margin that Hillary Clinton won the debate, but Donald Trump probably did himself a big favor under the situation.
Yeah, I was going to say a CNN poll, which they admit was leaning Democratic, mm-hmm. showed that Hillary Clinton won the debate, but it also showed that Donald Trump performed better than expected.
Well, I think that comports with my view of what I saw last night, too. You know, the situation, thanks to the tape disclosure on Friday, created a context that was really quite remarkable. Over the course of 48 hours, we moved from a case where we were hearing that Trump was doing a better job preparing for this debate, was actually practicing, all of which added up to a signal that he was trying to reach out to more voters and make himself more competitive. Then the tape disclosure, the videotaped apology, and the run on unendorsements that he experienced over the weekend, and that radically changed the context. So that winning the debate for him was really a matter of stemming the bleeding and trying to recover his candidacy, because I think he was within a few days of actually having the whole thing unravel. And he may have stopped that. He certainly made it more difficult for Republican leadership to continue to turn against him the way they did for 48 hours.
Yeah. And so you think that he may have done that? He may have stopped the panic, stemmed the bleeding?
Well, I think so. And in your newscast there, you heard from Trump supporters who are going to be very unsympathetic with Republican leaders who turn against Trump now, which makes it very difficult for them. I mean, after all, I'm sorry, I was up late last night at the debate site.
I bet, yeah.
The challenge for them is trying to maintain their congressional majorities. Many incumbents in and out of federal government on the Republican side are struggling now between a choice of condemning Trump and trying to distance themselves from him on the one hand, and taking advantage of the fact that there are a few voters out there who are Trumpites before they're Republicans, and they hope to benefit from their support. So I think the fact that he recovered his position, came out fighting, means that he rallied his natural base, and making it that much more difficult for Republicans to distance themselves from him.
Yeah. Well, and as expected, the issue of that audio recording of Donald Trump talking about kissing women without their consent, grabbing them in the genitals, did come up in the debate. And Trump again said it was locker room talk. He insisted that he never did those things, that it was all talk and no action. But then he diverted and said, whereas Bill Clinton, it was action. And he accused Hillary Clinton of attacking the women who accused Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct. How did that play?
Well, you know, I think it played with his base. extremely well. You know, he went on the attack and articulated more complaints about the Clintons than we've heard from him for a long time, maybe ever. And so from the point of view of rallying the base and trying to recover your candidacy, that may have done very well. But I don't think it expanded his electorate. It didn't make him more competitive against Clinton for the fall. So it's a mixed story for him. I think he did what he absolutely had to do, and that is make it more difficult for Republicans to dump him. But he probably didn't gain any. He's probably not going to pick up anything in the polls.
Well, we did pull a couple of clips just to hear. Let's take a listen to first Donald Trump insisting again that this was locker room talk.
When I hear something like that, I am reminded of what...
That was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I am a person who has great respect for people, for my family, for the people of this country, and certainly I'm not proud of it, but that was something that happened. If you look at Bill Clinton, far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. So you can say any way you want to say it, but Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women and attacked them viciously.
Now let's take, we mistakenly played Hillary's response to that, but let's listen to Hillary's response.
When I hear something like that, I am reminded of what my friend Michelle Obama advised us all. When they go low, you go high.
So she did not directly address that. Was that the right strategy?
Well, I don't think it was very effective for two reasons. One is that she didn't address it directly, and you'd think that with 48 hours preparation time that she could have done something that was both appropriate and hard-hitting. I think a lot of people were looking for the knockout punch, and she really didn't provide it. The other thing is that while she said that, you know, her job was to take the high road, she literally, in the next sentence that you did not play, she literally then went after him. And so she diluted her own message there, I think, and that's why I think this was a debate performance that was, I think, somewhat disappointing for even her own supporters.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that happened?
I'm not sure. I mean, one thing that happened was that Trump managed to drag out the issue of personal morality for a very long time. Clinton may have been prepared for one or two one-liners to respond to Trump and to deal with the situation over the weekend. But Trump kept pounding away at the Clintons, and simply may have thrown her off her game a little bit.
Yeah. Well, later in the hour, we're going to welcome in our Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, who attended this Republican Party event in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, on Saturday, the event that Donald Trump had been planning on attending, but then was disinvited by House Speaker of First Congressional District Congressman from Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, disinvited him to that event. Paul Ryan was booed at that event by the Trump supporters. What do you make of that?
Well, that is, that just in a few seconds of of an important event summarizes the Democratic, or I should say, the Republican predicament at this very moment. On the one hand, I think we expected for this debate that there would continue to be unendorsements of Trump by Republican candidates around the country. They would do that because they couldn't face criticism for supporting a candidate whose tape was disclosed on Friday. But what we saw at Elkhorn was what's probably going to happen across the country, and that is, especially with this debate performance, Trump supporters would object strongly if Republicans unendorse him. And I think Republican candidates now risk losing Republican voters when they do unendorse him. So they're behind a, you know, between a rock and a hard place here this morning. And someone like Paul Ryan is in a leadership position who's going to have to show a way for fellow Republicans to make their way through this.
We are talking about last night's presidential debate, and we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your reactions to what happened. A lot of people are saying that Hillary Clinton did not deliver the knockout punch that Democrats were hoping for, and our guest agrees with that. Do you? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about last night's presidential debate and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What is your reaction to last night's debate? How do you feel about where the Clinton and Trump campaigns stand today? Our guest is Stephen Smith, a distinguished professor of social sciences, a professor of political sciences, and the director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis, which hosted last night's debate. So we've talked about how the issue of that 2005 audio recording played out in the debate. What else do you think? That happened pretty much in the beginning, and then it did seem to turn more to issues, though it was very contentious after that. What are your thoughts, Professor Smith, about the rest of the debate?
Well, I think is one part of the debate there where most people thought that Trump did better than the first time. Now, I don't think that's a high standard, but it probably was enough to make the case that he is a credible candidate, that is, he can articulate his issues reasonably well. I think from the rest of the debate, though, we still have a few one-liners. His strongest issues remains Clinton's emails, and now the newer disclosure from WikiLeaks about her speeches on Wall Street. I think the truth is that his arguments about immigration, his arguments about trade, are the centerpiece of his policy arguments, and he probably cannot expand his electorate enough to win on the basis of those arguments alone. And now we're down to the last 3 weeks, essentially, and he's decided to go even more negative and try to bring up her negatives even farther. And I think that's what we're going to see. I think that's what he decided to do. I think that the disclosure on Friday of the tape, I think more or less forced him into that position. I think, what a lot of candidates would do is say, is there some new policy idea? Is there some new way to capture that additional 1 or 2% of the vote? And that's not what we're seeing from Trump. What we've seen from Trump here last night was really an attack on Clinton. And her response, of course, is receiving some tepid reviews, I think even among Clinton supporters. You know, her issue all along has been the lack of a theme, a vision, a clear direction to, her promised presidency. She's quite able to articulate policy views on a wide range of subjects. She can tick off new proposals on almost any subject. But the big picture and this vision thing remains a pretty serious problem for her. And I think last night's debate would have been an opportunity for her to make some headway on that score, but I think her attention was diverted, and she really didn't gain any new ground. So I think this was overall a stalemate.
Yeah. There was one of the lines that is getting a lot of attention this morning was when Donald Trump did say that he was going to appoint a special prosecutor if he wins the election, and that special prosecutor would go after Hillary Clinton for the emails that she deleted after she was subpoenaed. Then Hillary Clinton said this.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Because you would be in jail. Some are saying, hey, you know, talking about jailing your political opponents is not very democratic.
Yes. And so it's a classic case of Trump simply overstepping, even on an issue where he probably has an advantage. I think there are Americans who are concerned that the emails that Clinton engaged in a practice with her emails that put national security secrets at risk. And there's no evidence that she did it intentionally. That she had a separate system for dealing with classified information, but I think it's an issue that resonates with many Americans. And here was a case where Trump, I think, spoiled his advantage, because I think the reviews now are going to focus on this last assertion that she'd be in jail, and it goes to his ineffectiveness as a candidate, his inability to discipline himself, and just simply failing to take advantage of issues that work to his advantage.
Yeah, he says that she deleted emails when under subpoena, and she did state in their back and forth, "I deleted private emails, not the public emails." That's not an adequate response.
Well, I don't think it is for the general public. You know, the big problem for her is that many people just have a hard time understanding why she would conduct official business, Secretary of State, through a private email server. Period. Many of them think that this is, you know, just by itself a sign that she was hiding things, that she wanted to have communications that wouldn't be handled through normal email at work, as many people do, and she just can't get around that fact. I think she's stuck with this. This is a losing cause for her. She doesn't want to bring it up. He wants to bring it up. I think it's an issue to work that works for him, but I think he overstepped by a sizable margin, because this comment that you'd be in jail, if I was president, you'd be in jail, or I'm going to use the Justice Department to go after you, is a gross misuse of presidential power, and it doesn't help him at all with these undecided middle-of-the-road voters.
Let's go to Troy in Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. Yeah, I'm glad that the subject's going on to that, because I was a Bernie supporter, and I was undecided, but I'll tell you, that was a big factor when I was watching that was the body language of Trump and the way he was accusatory. I mean, I felt like I was watching the Blair Witch Trials or something, you know, and I think that's going to resonate with people. I think he did, for somebody that just had came off a sex scandal, I think he did come across as a misogynistic bully in that debate with the way he was conducting himself.
Well, that reminded me of how he was conducting himself. A lot of people were talking about his body language and how he was, like, walking around the stage and kind of getting close to Hillary Clinton as she was answering a question. And the style came across like a bully.
I think that's right. And it also showed, you know, in a somewhat more politically neutral way, impatience. You know, the idea that you might stand still and listen to someone is something that he hasn't shown yet. You know, even in the primary season, he'd be sitting there fidgeting. He'd be throwing in one-liners while someone else was talking. His patience, his ability to listen, I think, is an issue. And It's something which actually works to Hillary Clinton's advantage because she has a reputation for being a great listener, and most people think a president has to be a good listener. There are competing points of view, but if you have a well-developed attitude and you're impatient listening to contrary points of view, you're not going to be as effective a president as you should be.
Yeah. Some commentators are saying that, yes, Hillary Clinton did not deliver that knockout punch, that Trump did perform better than expected, but that he was really appealing more to his base, shoring up the base, and still was not reaching out to demographics that he needs to reach out to in order to win. Would you agree with that assessment?
100%. This was a fallback. This was the kind of Trump we saw in Republican primary debates in February and March, where he was competing for Republican support. It was not an attempt, at least not a successful or a serious attempt, to appeal to undecided, typically less attentive, more moderate, middle-of-the-road, certainly independent voters. This was, I think, a recovery effort. Look, I'm going to rally the troops, and I dare you to try to dump me from the ticket. And that may have been a perfectly reasonable strategy, given the context. After all, had the events of Saturday and Sunday continued unchecked, most of us would have thought that by Tuesday or Wednesday, his candidacy would have been completely sunk. Now he... at least the case can be made that fewer Republicans, at least fewer than otherwise, will distance themselves from him, and at least he'll survive to compete for the next few weeks.
Yeah, in fact, his running mate, Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence, did tweet after the debate. His solidarity with Donald Trump and his support, yeah, saying together we're going to make America great again. Whereas on Friday, there Republicans were talking about trying to get Pence to replace Trump on the ballot.
And I don't think Pence had anything to do with that effort. I should be clear, but many people have been impressed with Pence. His debate performance went over very well with Republicans. And, of course, he didn't compete for the presidency, so he has kind of a clean slate with them. But he's just as conservative as the most conservative Republicans competing for the nomination this year. So he seems to be well-placed. Of course, there was a comment last night, yeah, about Pence's statement that we should use more force in Syria, and Trump did not agree with him on that and said that he had not spoken with Pence about that subject. And Pence, I guess, is simply, choosing to ignore the issue for now, and that's perfectly reasonable for a running mate.
Yeah. A Muslim woman asked a question, and the response from Donald Trump, in part, was that Muslims needed to do more to report suspicious activity of their community.
Yeah.
And that that kind of started off a trend on Twitter where Muslims were reporting things, so they didn't take that too kindly. They were reporting things like Donald Trump stalking around the stage and things like that.
Well, that's right. That comment, I think, was, again, appealed to Trump supporters of midwinter. It certainly doesn't resonate well, I think, with the undecided voters out there.
Craig in Onalaska is with us. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. My comment is, when Donald Trump said that his tape basically was just locker room banter and that he never acted upon his statements, hasn't that been challenged by a beauty queen contest individual, saying that she was kissed on the lips without her permission? And what I'm wondering is, if more women start coming out, if that's going to really have a snowball effect on support for Trump.
What do you think?
Well, I think that's entirely possible. I think his claim that this was merely locker room banter and that doesn't reflect on any behavior that he conducted certainly opens him to the possibility that additional disclosures will undermine that and keep that issue alive. He tried to get rid of it last night. And I think some viewers probably would say that he was slightly dismissive in his apology by labeling it locker room banter, and that he should have just simply apologized, said it was wrong, promised that he was a different person now, and then gone on. But he couldn't quite let it happen that way. And he may end up paying some price for that in the next week or so.
Yeah, it seemed to me that Anderson Cooper had to ask him, you know, two or three times, but did you ever act on those comments? Did you do those things? And he wasn't answering, then finally he said, no, I didn't do those things. So
Right. Well, I think, you know, the one thing about the disclosure was that this wasn't merely rhetoric about women. It was being a braggart about his behavior with respect to women. And that distinction, I think, made many Republicans think hard, and so hard that they decided to unendorse Trump. Trump was trying to deal with that side of the problem directly, and I think it's unclear whether he did so successfully.
Gary on Facebook says, it looks like a few of Bill Clinton's sexual abuse victims had front row seats, and Trump said something like, if he were president, Hillary would be in jail.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that. He also, Gary goes on to say, that Trump pointed out that it was a 1-on-3 debate, with him having to debate the moderators as well as Hillary. He isn't out of the race yet. Any thoughts on whether it was 3-1 last night?
Well, no, I think picking on the media has been something that that Trump thinks works very well for him. His populist appeal is the little guy against big institutions. It's big government, big business, big media, and picking on the media for being unfair to him, resonates with his base, which believes that the centerpiece is that the way American life is now operating is unfair to them. And so, that kind of complaint, I think, actually works pretty well with his base. But it's not the kind of thing that gains him any additional votes. Now, whether they were fair or unfair, it's hard for us to see timers on that stage when we're sitting in a TV audience. When he talks over his limit or refuses to answer a question, it is the job of the moderators to go back and press him or to try to cut him off. And we don't really know whether he was, more of a problem in talking too long than Clinton was over the course of the evening or not.
Pat in Springdale is with us. Hello, Pat.
Good morning, Joy, and your guest. I just wanted to say that I thought the debate kind of went the way I hoped it would. I would hope they would get these issues about the personal stuff on both sides out of the way quickly, and then get to the policy, which I heard a lot of differences in policy last night. I was very happy to hear that. I have to say that I saw the first Juanita Broderick interview in 98 with Lisa Myers, and she gave another interview recently. And I think a lot of people just, they don't realize it's not about Bill Clinton fooling around on Hillary. But Hillary, I'm not worried about Donald Trump stalking around the stage like she's some little, flower. Because when you read the accounts of these women and how Hillary has treated them, you see that she's not, she's pretty...
I got to jump in, and I'm sorry, Pat. I didn't. Hillary Clinton's treatment of the women who accused Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct is still an issue in this campaign, Professor Smith.
Well, it is, but I'm not sure how much it is to the undecided voter. This issue has been around for a long time. They're trying to make her the issue, that she's tolerated Bill's behavior, that she's been hard on his accusers. But this gets to be a real complicated matter. What did she know? When she knew? Are they telling the truth? Mm-hmm. This is a complicated issue that really doesn't win too many new votes at this stage.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Joy.
Stephen Smith, Distinguished Professor of Social Sciences, a Professor of Political Sciences, and Director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We talked some about last night's presidential debate. Now we will talk about an event that happened in Elkhorn, Wisconsin on Saturday. It was a Republican a party event, and House Speaker Paul Ryan was booed because he had disinvited Donald Trump to that event. We're going to talk about that event and welcome your thoughts, questions, and reactions for our guest, who is here, I guess, a little early for the State Capitol Report. Sean Johnson is here. He is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and he covered the State Republican Party's annual Fall Fest in Elkhorn on Saturday. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So that's interesting. To recap, why did Speaker Ryan disinvite Donald Trump to that event?
Yeah. To recap, this is a local Republican fundraiser for the 1st Congressional District in Wisconsin, 1st Congressional District Republicans. It's Paul Ryan's district. It's kind of viewed as his fundraiser because of that. So he was already going to be there. Governor Walker, Senator Ron Johnson were all planning on being there. And the notice that came out last week said that Donald Trump would be there. And then we were expecting Mike Pence would also be there. Then those recordings came out last week. And the notice came out from Speaker Ryan's office that Donald Trump would not be attending. And the next day, Mike Pence said he wouldn't be there either. So you had a lot of Trump supporters who were planning to make the trip because they wanted to see Trump, and they were vocally disappointed at the event. Well, yeah, I mean, I would still say they were in the minority at that event. I mean, yet Paul Ryan had his fans there, but you know, the Trump people were very angry.
Because they didn't think, I mean, I guess I'm asking you to speculate some, but they, because they didn't think it, the comments he made about kissing women without their consent and groping a woman, they didn't think that was a big deal.
So I didn't talk to everybody there. I mean, the handful of people I talked to said that it was wrong, that he shouldn't have said it, but that it was being overblown. And so they really focused on Paul Ryan and said that he should, you know, he should essentially stick by the nominee, and they blamed him for Trump not being there.
Yeah. So House Speaker Ryan was booed and heckled, and Jim Sensenbrenner was also there.
Yeah, just to give you an idea how this thing was unfolding, as the earlier speakers went, you could tell this was not going to be your typical event, because Paul Ryan's, just the mention of his name was getting boos, basically in his backyard in his southeast Wisconsin district. So Jim Sensenbrenner kind of, you know, takes no guff, right? He gets up there and he's going to address this head on. And he talks about how this is Paul Ryan's fundraiser. And, you know, you need to respect that.
Every year people come to the Fall Fest to say their appreciation and their support for Paul. And
Not no more.
Okay, then. Okay. If you're not going to be for the whole ticket, I think
Donald Trump.
Why don't you listen to what I have to say rather than interrupting me? There's something about courtesy involved here.
So there's one example. I'll give you another example here. You had basically one person at this entire event who actually talked about the recordings that came out last week. And who also actually mentioned Donald Trump by name, because Republicans at this event kind of went back to the way they'd been earlier in the campaign cycle, where they'd talk about the election but never mentioned Trump by name. They kind of got past that. We're saying they were proud of him, that he was going to shake up Washington. Not so much at this weekend's event. Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel was the exception, and he got heckled too.
I know that Donald Trump has said some things that are bad. I'm a father of two daughters. My daughters look up to me, and I don't like hearing anyone talk that way about women. But Donald Trump will appoint judges who will defend our Constitution and respect our Constitution.
Yeah, you could hear those. It was years ago. Get over it.
Yeah, until he said I mean, it was a buildup to, I'm going to, you know, I think you should support him anyway because he'll appoint federal judges. But you heard in that buildup some impatient Trump people in there.
Yeah. We are talking about the Republican event on Saturday in Elkhorn, where originally Donald Trump was to attend but was disinvited by Congressman Paul Ryan following the disclosure, the release of an audio tape, a videotape, in which Trump was caught making some sexually explicit remarks. And we wonder what you think about all this, what questions you have, whether you think that this should or if it will or should not end Trump's candidacy. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Sean Johnson, who attended, covered the event in Elkhorn on Saturday. So, Paul Ryan, as I mentioned, already said, got booed. But did he bring up this tape at all?
He alluded to it at the very beginning, and Paul Ryan's campaign had put out a statement from him ahead of this event. It was actually the night that the recordings were publicized, and he said in that statement that he was sickened by what he heard. And he alluded to that as he began his remarks at this Fall Fest event, but that's about as far as he went.
Look, let me just start off by saying there is a bit of an elephant in the room. And it is a troubling situation. I'm serious, it is. I put out a statement about this last night. I meant what I said, and it's still how I feel. But that is not what we are here to talk about today.
And he left it at that, and he talked about basically gave a speech we've heard him give many times this year where he talks about this House Republican agenda that includes stuff like repealing Obamacare, growing the military, and basically just hits those points one after another as if it were any other speech. But the crowd sort of waited for that to happen, but as they could tell, the Trump supporters could tell that Ryan was wrapping it up. You can give a listen here to what it sounded like.
Here in Wisconsin, we will deliver our 10 electoral votes, we will fight for our conservatives, and we will offer this country solutions, and we will meet the moment for what it is. Thank you for coming out for Fall Fest, everybody. Thank you so much, you guys. God bless you all. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so
shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you. They're yelling at the House Speaker from Janesville and cut the mic pretty soon after that. So you can get a pretty good sampling there of the situation facing Paul Ryan. You've got Republicans in other part of the country, like John McCain, for example, who are saying, you know, I can no longer support Donald Trump after this video came out. There are some Republicans who say Paul Ryan could set the tone here and just look at that video, say this was wrong. You know, we don't want Donald Trump to be the standard bearer for our party. Just, you know, just rescind your endorsement. Easy as that. On the other hand, if he does that, there's obviously going to be a number of very angry Trump supporters who aren't going to just write in, you know, whoever the Republican Party says to write in. You'd essentially be asking him to, for this election cycle, blow up the party.
Yeah. And there was some talk then that Donald Trump needs to drop out, and that Mike Pence should be the the top of the ticket. But that's you can't do that, right, Sean? Because early voting has already begun.
It would be essentially saying, I think, for Republicans that we're not going to try to win this one. You know, I think the scenario would be pretty tough for them to accomplish because, yeah, in places like Wisconsin, people have been voting for a while now, and that ballot says Donald Trump.
So Ryan did not formally pull his support or endorsement of Trump. Is that right? Or did
right.
any of the any he, top Republicans?
No,
in
they
Wisconsin
did not
do
in
that?
Wisconsin. I haven't seen any Wisconsin Republicans, elected Wisconsin Republicans, certainly, who have said, I was backing Trump and now I'm not. You know, the closest thing we got to that was they just didn't talk about him, but nobody pulled their endorsement. Ron Johnson, you know, who might be somebody you'd expect to do something like that, given that he's in a close U.S. Senate race and you've seen, you know, congressmen in other parts of the country who are in close races who are saying they want to get their distance from Trump now. Ron Johnson didn't do that. He didn't mention Trump, but he said we got to deliver Wisconsin's electoral votes.
Yeah. Charlotte in Brookfield is with us. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. I never wanted to. I'm a Republican, and I never wanted to vote for Trump. But I feel like he himself has hijacked the Republican Party, and I think I just feel like I wish there was someone else. I do. I just wish there was someone else.
What are you going to do, Charlotte?
Oh my gosh, that is in my mind every day. What to do? I mean. Like you just answered a question, is that who we're stuck with? Stuck with him?
And Charlotte was going to say that she thinks that Republicans in Wisconsin would prefer anyone else to be running, but and there has been a kind of a somewhat tense relationship between establishment Republicans and Trump.
Certainly, where Charlotte's calling from in Brookfield, Southeast Wisconsin has not yet come home for Trump. In the way that it typically does for Republican candidates. I mean, that is the strong zone for Republicans. I mean, nationally, it is an extremely strong Republican area, and Trump has struggled there. He's done pretty well in other parts of the state. You look at northern Wisconsin, you look at around Green Bay. Those regions like what they're seeing from Trump and are supporting him in greater numbers than they have candidates like, say, Mitt Romney.
So just 30 seconds to go. Do we expect Donald Trump to come back to Wisconsin then?
It's a long time before Election Day. I mean, it's going to feel like it. It's right around the corner. But if it's a close race here, he's already shown that he'd like to make more visits here. If it's close, I expect you'd see him.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. He covered the State Republican Party's annual Fall Fest in Elkhorn on Saturday. Thank you to producers Bill Martins, Brianne Shasso, and Naisha Ellison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.